Rolene Marks, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. So that's it. We're ending 5781, entering 5782 on Monday. Our Monday evening starts Rosh Hashanah. If we're feeling it here, I would imagine that Israel is just all geared towards the Jewish New Year on Monday evening.
Well, you can certainly feel it in the air, albeit a lot more subdued, you know, listening to the very sobering words of Dr. Myberg, you know, who by fire, who by plague. And as he so rightly said, I don't think the words of who by plague have ever been more keenly felt as they have been these last 2 years. I know so many of us, including myself, have lost people we love over the past year. So we are heading towards Rosh Hashanah, a new year with a lot of trepidation, very, very subdued, not the usual celebrations that we've seen in previous years. You know, we've always been able to tell the seasons by what's going on in the supermarket. No, I kid you not. The minute we start seeing rimonim, that's pomegranates, and lovely displays of what you can put on your table, we know, and honey, we know that Rosh Hashanah approaches, and it's a lot more subdued, and I've noticed that this has been the trend throughout the year. You know, no sooner do we clear up the Rosh Hashanah decor, then the Sukkot decor comes out, and then we start to see sufganiyot, donuts, starting to pop up. But over the last year, I have noticed that this is very, very subdued. We've had 2 years in a row where we haven't had major flags and all sorts of displays for Yom HaAtzmaut. So it kind of tells you where the Israeli psyche is. This year, unlike last year, we at least so far can celebrate with our families, our friends, our close ones. You know, if you make Aliyah, you don't have families, your friends become your friend family. A lot of concern now with rising numbers, what the situations will be for synagogues. A lot of discussion, will it only be able or only be open to people who have had their third jab and have to present a vaccination certificate? Will services be outside? You know, what is going to happen? So we're approaching with trepidation, but I think a lot of us are happy to see the end of year 5781 and hope that for all of us around the world, wherever you are, whether you are in Australia, I know we have Aussie listeners, South Africa, here in Israel, wherever you are, that it may be a better year than the previous year.
And in fact, this comes at a time as well that Israel is asking all of its citizens, and if you can just give us some context here, to receive a third jab of Pfizer. What age are they on at the moment?
Well, now we're open to all that's eligible. So anybody from 12, the age of 12 over, is eligible for that third jab. I've had my third jab. We have seen, even though the numbers are rising, we have seen an increase in the amount of people going for their vaccines now. There have been several sectors of society that have been very, very reluctant to get their vaccines for a variety of reasons, one of them being the Arab sector. We have seen members of the Arab sector now going for their first, second, third jabs. We've heard from the Haredi sector, some Rabbonim saying to teachers, if you haven't been vaccinated, please do not show up to the schools. So there has been a sense of this vaccine is important. And even though you can still get the virus, the chances of the virus becoming very, very serious and the need to be hospitalized, put on ventilators, is much, 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 much lessened with vaccines. In fact, I was looking at our stats this morning, even though the infections are high, the serious cases seem to be coming down or stabilizing. So that is where where we are, but we have seen a much more concerted effort from people to go and get their shots.
And as a matter of interest, did you have any reaction to the third shot?
I did. So my first shot, I had a slightly sore arm. My second shot, I was wiped out for
Yeah, so that's what a lot of people have told us, yeah.
My third shot, interestingly enough for me, I felt the shot, and I'm a big baby when it comes to injections. I felt it, and I had a very, very sore arm for about 4 days. I had a headache, a sore back for the next day. My hubby was wiped out for 3 days from the third shot.
But it's men, Rolene. Honestly, I don't think that's a measure. Yeah.
Listen, I almost immigrated again. You know, I'm just saying. A lot of people reporting feeling really, really tired, really, really headachy, body achy after the third shot. But all fine now, and
That's the point, isn't it? It's worth a day or two of not feeling great in order to know that this third shot gives you phenomenal protection.
And I'm not ashamed to say that if I require a fourth, fifth, sixth shot, I'm there. You know, anything to keep not just myself, but to keep my fellow citizens safe, and to be allowed to just get back to some semblance of normality, whatever that normality may be.
Absolutely right. Moving on to what unfortunately has become a little bit too normal is Israel strikes said to target Syria, and in fact you could hear the blasts near Tel Aviv. Tell us about this, the story.
Well, Israel allegedly bombed targets in Syria during the course of late last night. Listen, I didn't hear a thing. I sleep like the dead when I sleep. These are targets said to have been hit in places like Damascus, coming from the direction of Beirut. And now this is according to Syrian Arab news agency Sana. They say that Syrian air defense systems were activated in response to these attacks, allegedly from Israel, and some people in the areas of Tel Aviv, Ramat Gan, the Gush Dan area, they report supposedly hearing blasts. Now, if Israel does strike targets in Syria, they are likely Iranian targets. These are likely targets that are good in intelligence. We know have Israel in their sights, and those are likely what we are striking. But more than that, we don't have too much information.
All right, and as we generally very, very rarely do. Another thing I wanted to ask...
I do have some breaking news, not from Israel, but from New Zealand. We do have news that they're saying an ISIS-inspired extremist on the terror watch list in New Zealand, who was being monitored by police 24/7, has been shot dead while he entered a supermarket and stabbed at least six people are fighting for their lives.
Oh my word, when was this? Like right now?
This is coming in as we speak. This is in the city of Auckland, that's the capital of New Zealand.
Wow, wow, wow. And of course we will try and follow that story. It's very, very worrying, very sad news there indeed. The other story that I wanted to raise with you is this issue of a visa waiver with regard to the United States. If that goes ahead, it'll have a significant impact, a positive impact on United US, Israel business, travel, and every other aspect of life for Israelis.
Well, absolutely. This has been under discussion for quite a while. We know that it came up for discussion when Prime Minister Bennett met with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, last week. We know that Gilad Erdan, who's our current ambassador to the UN and outgoing ambassador to the US, he has reported that it is making progress, that he sees the waiver will be something in the future. And yes, it will have significant significant effects. I think we might see, you know, large exodus of people heading for the state. I was just saying, but in terms of doing business, in terms of travel, it will make it that much easier because the United States is one of the rare countries that Israelis do require a visa. And apparently, this is as per request of Israel, so that for reasons of national security and a variety of other reasons. So it's interesting to see that this is being wavered now, and it's something that Israel is pushing for, which I find quite fascinating. But yeah, if you are able, unlike some Robin Hoods, to get to the United States, hopefully in the near future, you won't require your visa. You will, and I speak from personal experience, require everything to be printed out in English with every conceivable test, just so.
Right, I see you've let that one go completely. And of course, Rolina, I would love to hear from you about the how Israel did in the Olympics, the Paralympics. It just one medal after another.
Well, can I just say, Akfen, because I love the Paralympics, because to me, the Paralympics brings out the absolute best in humanity. And did you know that they were actually founded by a Jewish doctor who had escaped the Nazis? He was a expert in neurological medicine and started the process by working with military veterans who had neurological injuries. This was the start of the Stokes-Mandeville Games in Britain, which became the Paralympics. And how can I just say, with only 2 days left, it has been raining medals for Israel's Paralympic teams. And believe it or not, the majority in swimming. Who'd have thunk it, Howard? Who'd have thunk it? But yes, Israel taking a further 2 gold medals yesterday. So our medals tally at the moment stands at 9 with 6 gold, 2 silver and 1 bronze. So if I get this right, we have Mark Malia. He has won 2 golds and a bronze. We have Iyad Shalabi, the first Arab-Israeli gold medalist. And he is just extraordinary, Howard. He is deaf, he is mute, and he lost the use of his legs due to an accident during his childhood. He won 2 golds, just simply extraordinary, taking his second gold yesterday. It was very, very moving to see the emotions on his face yesterday as that flag was raised and Hatikva was played, something I don't tire of. Moran Samuels for rowing, a silver. Ami Dadon taking a silver for swimming and then a gold. It has just been an absolute amazing Paralympic Games with 3 days to go, Howard. So are we going to see some more medals coming in? I certainly hope so.